Drew music.
We were talking about this during the show. That's the riff from Johnny Rael.
Is it?
Oh, so yes. It's Carnival, just a
Johnny Rael. That's the riff that
I
sampled.
I never would have noticed that.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I noticed it immediately, and I was like, ah!
And I wandered around the grounds until I found this little tent.
A song called Sharon by somebody named David Bromberg, who was not a senator from Virginia or possibly Kansas.
Sounded like... the name sounded like it was
It sounded like that. I'm fried.
David Bromberg only sounds a little bit like, well, who was it?
Sam Brownback?
Brownback. That's right.
Yeah. Well, no, it sounded like a politician's name. It didn't sound like a musician, you know, a musician's name was my point on that.
Didn't he play quarterback for the Vikings at the opening of the season? No, that was Sam Bradford.
Oh, maybe that could have been it too. Yeah. I would not have noticed the Johnny Rael.
Sam Brownback is the current governor of Kansas, not a past senator from Virginia.
Oh, I knew that. I pulled the random state out of my butt on that one. I did legitimately think for a moment he was from Utah, so I was wrong. I was wrong about that. I don't know. Now, is he Mormon? That's the question. Because if he's Mormon, then I still have my Utah cred.
Let's go to Sam Brownback's Wikipedia page.
Is he at least conservative? He's a Republican.
He's a Republican.
Oh, okay, I got that right.
That doesn't necessarily mean he's conservative.
Well,
we're going to split hairs.
Oh, it's true. it doesn't say anything about his.
All right.
His religion. In my skimming of his Wikipedia page.
Now, Johnny Rael was Paul's Boutique, right?
Yes.
Okay, and that's all that it was, right? The song. It was just.
Brownback is a former evangelical Christian who converted to Catholicism.
Okay, so I was wrong on both accounts. Okay, but he is a conservative.
Anyway, Johnny Rael.
So Johnny Rael, that's all the song was. Was just Johnny Rael?
No, there were verses.
Oh, there were?
Yeah, it's a whole story about Johnny Rael's like a homeless guy who used to be like a famous musician or something like that.
Oh, okay.
Claims that he wrote the Blue Suede Shoes.
I was under the impression that was like one of those in-between songs where it was only like a minute long and it was an interim to get to the next better song.
It's a whole thing.
Okay.
It's a whole song with verses and everything.
All right. Well, I'm just wrong on all kinds of levels. I did know Johnny Rael. I knew that.
Yeah.
I don't think I liked that song off of Paul's Boutique, so that's probably why. Yeah.
That whole album is a masterpiece.
Yeah?
Yeah. Andy agrees.
Absolutely.
See?
One of my favorites.
Do you guys know the backstory on Paul's Boutique?
Probably, but I don't know which one you're referring to.
I'm referring to that they didn't write the music for it. So the Dust Brothers did all the music for that album. Mm-hmm. The Beastie Boys heard it and then laid all the rapping on top of it.
I don't recall hearing that.
Yes, that's why it was such a departure from Paul's Boutique. From License to Ill. From License to Ill. That's why it was such a departure from License to Ill.
Such a great album.
Now, it's a good album. I will say, right, say for the sake of argument, that there is probably a 50-50 chance that you can Google what I just said, and I'm completely wrong in what I just mentioned.
Well, hold on.
But from what I remember, the Dust Brothers had made that record completely separate from the Beastie Boys. They heard it, they were amazed by it, and then put the lyrics on top of it.
Let me I'm gonna do a quick Google on that.
Yeah. Brianne, you a Beastie Boys?
You absolutely.
Like, are you?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm just curious. How old are you?
I will be 27 a little bit later this year.
Okay. All right. So you're older. I thought
so. You are 26.
Yes. I just feel like I'm close.
People answer,
I know. I
answer
hate myself
the age
for doing it too.
But everybody does it. So many people do that. It's my favorite. It's one of my favorite things. It's just a weird thing that people do. Like, how old are you? Well, I'll be 19 later.
Okay.
So you're 18.
What? You're 18 or below? Because that's true for everybody that is 18 or below.
It's not anymore. Not for me anymore.
I'll be 70.
Somebody asks me how old I am now, and I say, "Well, I was just 44." Just a few months ago, I was 44. I'm 45 now. I think I'm 40. Am I turning 45?
John,
I honestly
you're
don't.
You're 45.
Am I 45?
I know you're 45 because we're the same age.
We're the same age. Okay. Yeah. Well, then
your birthday's just a little bit before mine.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Well, that explains why I'm just a little bit smarter than you.
You need to feel it.
What?
Baby.
Did you find out about Dust Brothers?
Featuring production by the Dust Brothers, the album was recorded in Matt Dyke's apartment and the record plant. It was initially considered a commercial failure.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
Did not match the group's previous record.
Right. I knew that for sure. I remember the hype because I was working in record stores at the time when it came out. And I remember the hype surrounding it. And when then it came out, and I was like, oh, what have you done? Because it was very different. It was very different from License to.
I don't know if it was, I don't know if saying it's written, like it was, you know, the songs were written by them, but they did do all the production. Adam Yauch says the Dust Brothers had a bunch of music together before we arrived to work with them. Mm-hmm. As a result, a lot of the tracks come from songs they'd already planned to release to clubs as instrumentals. They'd put together some beats, bass lines, guitar lines, and they were surprised when we said we wanted to rhyme on it because they thought it was too dense already.
Good. So I was just about right.
Yeah. So you were close. Yeah.
I was close.
A lot of it was written
right
before the Beastie Boys got involved, but once the Beastie Boys got involved, it was more collaborative.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy when you think about it.
It's such an amazing album.
Yeah.
You know, and it was such a unique, you know, because sampling obviously got controversial after that. Artists would not necessarily, you know, allow their music to be sampled. And so just to have that album that samples over 105 songs over the course of that album.
Wow.
Yeah.
Can you name another Dust Brothers album that is a soundtrack to a movie that we've probably all seen?
As soon as this Wikipedia page is loaded. No.
Like, you're shaking your head.
I can think of the movie.
Huh?
I can think of the movie.
Yeah.
What's
the movie?
Would that be The Matrix?
No, it was not The Matrix. No. Brianne, give it a shot. Dust Brothers album? No.
Fight Club.
It was Fight Club. Okay. That's right. Yeah, the Fight Club album is essentially a soundtrack for it, but it's a Dust Brothers album. Much in the same vein. They don't do as much anymore, though, I don't think. I like the Fight Club album, though. That's good stuff.
No, they haven't done anything since, well, early 2000s, it looks like.
They died.
What?
I don't know. I'm just kidding.
Dusted.
that was just jokes.
Dust Brothers.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
So, Brianne.
Yes.
Tell us about yourself.
Hi.
Hey.
Your first time producing the show. What'd you think?
I loved it. I mean, I'm sweating. I'm a little shaky. So I pulled it off.
Did it fulfill all your hopes and dreams?
Was it everything that you woke up this morning and was like, I can't wait to do this?
There was a little bit of that, but being the wise 27-year-old that I am now, I've just kind of
almost 27.
Lost all. Yeah.
You will be 27.
I certainly sensed the enthusiasm when we took the elevator ride up. She barely contained herself inside the walls of the tin can that brought us to the fifth floor this morning.
No, I'm super. I've been listening to talk radio since I was a little kid. When I think of childhood memories, I hear the muffled, you know, sound of, you know, callers calling in and stuff like that. This is sadly kind of a dream come true. You know? It is.
I don't disagree with that or take offense in any way, shape, or form.
If somebody ever told me that their dream was to produce a show that I was a co-host on, I'd be like, dude.
Dude.
Come on. Aim high. Yeah.
Now we can edit this next
Chipotle's hiring.
We can edit this next part out, Brianne, if you'd like. I will keep names anonymous for the sake of this portion of it if you're cool talking about it. But you would pop in to the studio into the booth quite often here.
I see where this is going.
Here at the station, cuz you wanted a refuge a little bit. Yeah, you wanted to come and hang. Now, however much of that, without, you know, naming people or places, you want to add to that story, feel free. But don't feel like you have to.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But it is kind of fun.
It was nice to be around like-minded people when I was, feeling a little bit quite the opposite, a little bit scarlet lettered, if you will, politically.
Well, it's a difficult situation, and we talked about it on the show a number of times. Especially after the election.
Well,
let's just make one thing clear.
My unwillingness to throw my support behind the first female candidate for presidency was taken as direct support for Donald Trump, which was never the case for me back in October, November.
Right.
Now, singing a little bit of a different tune because I do want to make America great again because I'm tired of that. How, you know, I went to work every day and yet because of one small difference of opinion, it just completely changed a working dynamic.
Yeah.
You know, that's the political culture we live in. And it makes me kind of sick, frankly.
And you're not the only person that's happened to.
Right. I mean,
that's happened in a number of offices. Yeah. That's happened in a number of workplaces where if you're a conservative, not even a Trump supporter, you're a conservative.
Right. Yep.
You know, people,
I almost didn't want to believe it.
We talked about it on the show with the bit about Obama calling and consoling people today. I mean, you do. You have a lot of people out there that are legitimately in grieving and mourning and cannot accept the fact that we are under the Trump administration and will be for the next 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just how it is. That's just how it's going to be. And guess what? At the end of the 3 years, you're going to be fine.
Mm-hmm.
Country's going to be fine.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe some policies will be enacted that you're not in support of.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe some bad ones. Maybe some good ones. I don't know. But all in all, you're going to be fine. So everybody needs to chill out. But you don't have that right now. It's become this clear line of division where there is a certain segment of the left side of the population, the liberal leaning population, that wants zero interaction with anybody that they think might be even an ancillary Trump supporter.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and I think it serves as the example of the bubble that a lot of people live in, and how unwilling they are to get outside their own comfort zones. I mean, we get labeled as that. I mean, label's not the right word, but we get stereotyped as being a certain type of individual just based off of what we say on the air. But the truth of the matter is, I surround myself with the rest of the world. I mean, and it's not just a matter of watching the news, but, you know, when it comes to pop culture, you know, other individuals, I've got plenty of exposure to different points of view, and I don't put that much weight on the presidency. Like, if Hillary had gotten elected, I would have been like, ugh.
Yep.
I went through that twice with Obama, but it would never be the end of the world. And so for somebody like Drew said, who's grieving, to me, it shows, wow, you just don't know what it's like to be outside your bubble and not in your own little comfort zone where you are that bothered by a majority group of people disagreeing on a view of a person.
Yeah.
When you have no idea what that person's experience is,
right.
When you have no idea why to take the time to ask why I have the opinions that I do, you know, my family lived through 8 years of Obama. We suffered because of it. You know, we sold our house. My father's small business took a hit. You know, never did they once want to take the time to understand that.
The Affordable Care Act has done so much damage to so many families. I mean, I've got a good friend I play cards with who talks all the time. I mean, it's the Affordable Care Act is solely responsible for one of them getting laid off from their job and the other one having their job cut back and their hours cut back, and now they're essentially they've gone from a good paying full time job to a not quite as good paying, not quite as full time job, and the other one has struggled to find work, and it was all because of the imposition of the Affordable Care Act on the places that they worked.
Yep.
You know, and that was the sole, like, these people aren't conservative. They're not hardcore conservatives or anything like that. They're barely political. They barely pay attention. But the Affordable Care Act caused them to, and they were like, they were like, I do not want Hillary Clinton to win.
Yes.
And they voted for Trump.
Mm-hmm.
It's
mm-hmm.
And they're not unique by any stretch.
Right.
Brianne, what are your goals? What are you hoping to do in radio? Or is this it? Have you reached it and you're just going to call it quits?
I produced Justice and Drew.
I did it for 3 days. I'm here if you need me.
Well, I'm good.
Where's my plaque?
I'm a little worried about
that. Go to apply at Chipotle now.
Yeah.
You're hungry today?
I want a burrito.
I can't think of anything worse. No disrespect.
I really want a burrito.
Can you imagine working that assembly line all day? Are you familiar with Sebastian Maniscalco? He's a comedian.
No.
Sorry. Okay. Well,
no,
if the reference is lost, he has a bit.
Right.
And it's just like, can you imagine what the people who work there listen to all day? Steak, beans, rice.
Oh, yeah.
Over and over again.
Yeah.
All day. No communication outside of that.
Yeah, I could. Yeah, I could.
I mean, it's just always popping in there.
I can't. Have you eaten there before? I only say that because they give big portions, and you're a little person.
Yeah,
I can't imagine
you. You're basically the size of a Chipotle burrito.
I know, exactly. Listen, though. I was thinking about this because this is how interesting my life is, last night I was planning my lunch out today.
Right.
In advance. And I thought to myself, Chipotle sounds good. I haven't had that in a while. But I cannot spend, what, $8, $10 on something that I will literally eat maybe three-fifths of. And it's not as good when it's warmed up. Let's be real. You know?
Right.
And so, no, I can't justify. And no, I cannot finish a whole thing. So.
You had a little 40-year-old virgin Stephen Carell moment there.
That's my whole life.
When they asked him how his weekend was, it was good.
I was really craving,
you know, an egg salad sandwich. But I didn't have the eggs. I had to go to the store.
I just didn't feel like eating it.
I got all the accoutrements. I put it together.
It took me like two and a half hours making it.
Great weekend. Yeah.
I am Steve Carell.
Putting together my lunch plans.
I used to, every once in a while, would make homemade pizza.
You know,
make the dough from scratch, make the tomato sauce.
From scratch?
Yeah, do it all.
You wouldn't even get like the pre-done one.
Nope.
Would you get the can of the dough?
I would start with flour.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
And then I realized, this is dumb.
Yeah.
This is really stupid. Yeah. There are places that will do all this for me and then bring it to me.
Yeah, dude.
At my house. And it's cheaper.
Yeah.
And it doesn't take like 3 hours of my life and tastes just as good, if not better. It was really dumb.
Yeah, that is dumb.
But it was fun. I mean, it was just kind of a fun thing to do on an afternoon.
Yeah.
But then you do all this work and it would take hours and, you know, be giant mess, flour everywhere to clean up and all these pots and pans and dishes to clean up. And I'd end up with like a little 8-inch pizza that I'd have to share.
Oh!
And it'd be like, we're still hungry. Spent like $40 in ingredients on something that was like an appetizer, basically.
I baked fresh tilapia last night.
Yeah.
And fish sticks, asparagus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tilapia is good.
It's a lot of leftovers.
Yeah, I like tilapia. Tilapia used to be a trash fish. Like people would need it.
Yeah.
And it was considered a trash
fish. Oh, really? Yeah. Lobster was too at one point in time.
Yeah.
Lobster was not considered.
They served lobster to prisoners.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Lucky them.
Yeah, that was a whole weird story behind
it. The whole surf and turf thing was, I think, a part of that.
Yeah, the reason lobster got considered in higher regard is because they started pairing it with steak. So you'd get lobster and steak, and then people just assumed that lobster was as fancy as steak, and they would be willing to pay as much for it as they would a steak.
And I think the surf
is all clever marketing.
The surf and turf thing.
It's a sea cockroach.
It had something to do with the prisoners. Like, they would get, like, the surf thing was a lobster, and then they would shove the prisoners, like, in the turf.
No, there was a law, like, in Maine or something. There was, like, a state law somewhere that said, you know, conserving prisoners beyond a certain amount of lobster was considered torture. Like, you couldn't do it. You'd be torturing them.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It'd be, like, cruel and unusual punishment.
How things change.
Yeah. Mm. Right now, I'd be like, give me some lobster. Although a lobster really is just a vehicle for butter.
Absolutely.
So many foods that we really like are nothing but vehicles for butter and salt.
Yeah.
Corn.
Potatoes.
Yeah.
Well, I often just have foods in general that are vehicles for just the condiment that goes with it.
Right.
Yeah. So, you know.
Who needs all that bread and turkey and cheese? Just give me the mayo.
Right.
Just give me the mayo.
No, I want the fries, but I really want to dip them in ranch, and it's not socially acceptable to just drink the ranch. So.
Chasing it down.
Yeah. I really want the Sweet Baby Ray's barbecue sauce, but if I sit here with a glass full and just sip it, it's not going to fly.
So four shots of ranch.
I need to dip. I need some Tyson chicken nuggets to dip because you know there's a certain ranches you get that are way better. Like there's sometimes when you get like the sandwich shop samples in the little container that's really hard to open because when you pop it it explodes on you and you got to like angle it.
You get a smattering of ranch in your face.
It's not. Yeah. You think it would be enjoyable and it's really not.
Ranch facial.
But that ranch is really good, but it doesn't taste like the regular ranch you can get. It's like special ranch.
Wasn't Hidden Valley the gold standard?
It is, but it doesn't taste like the packaged ranch that gives you the ranch facial.
Which you prefer?
I want a bottle of the ranch that I get from the packets that give me the facial that I can buy at the store.
Just get a pump dispenser.
Then
rub it in your body.
No, it's not about
all the ranch.
No, you're never see the point. No, and I want to eat it.
Ribbons of ranch.
I don't want it on my body. I want it to eat it.
Ribbons of ranch.
Spraying all over the place.
That's right. You know what? If I had a band, I'd call it Ribbons of Ranch. And my first album would be Uranium One.
One of my favorite bands, Southern Culture on the Skids, has a bit. They've got a song called Eight Piece Box. It's about fried chicken, obviously. And a bit in their live shows.
Wait, obviously?
Well, what else would an eight-piece box be?
I don't know, but I did not immediately think chicken when you said that.
Okay. Well,
yeah, I was thinking, what does that mean?
Fried chicken. It's a song about fried chicken.
Okay.
Called Eight-Piece Box. And their bit when they play the show in concert is they bring out a bucket of chicken and they toss, you know, fried chicken out into the crowd. Hmm. It's fun. They've got a song called Banana Pudding.
Greasy leg right in the face.
Yeah, it's really funny. It's a fun show to
chicken
go to.
Facial.
Yeah, you get like I caught a thigh.
Is it breaded? Is it crispy?
Yeah, it's like straight from KFC. I mean, it's like a bucket of KFC.
Oh.
And then they bring out and they just toss they start chucking chicken out at the crowd. So then they have a song called Banana Pudding.
Uh-oh.
And when they play that, yes, they'll take little individual serving packs of banana pudding and they'll chuck those out in the crowd. It's a whole thing.
Are all their songs about food?
Most of them, yeah. A lot of them are about food. Yeah.
Okay, all right.
So if you do start Ribbons of Ranch.
The band.
Right? You could get like a ranch hose.
Opening act.
Like a bizarro version of Guar. Right?
Spray the crowd with a ranch.
Oh, the ranch. I'm a giant fry.
It's a raining ranch.
Hallelujah.
Somebody get me big bacon bits. Shower me in bits of bacon in my ranch.
I love this idea.
KFC, though, is another good example. You get the crispy chicken just to get the skin.
Oh, yeah.
And just throw the chicken away.
Just get rid of the chicken.
Worthless.
Give that to the you eat the white meat, children. Daddy's eating the
daddy's got all the skin.
Skin up here, please.
That's right. Oh, that's good stuff.
There was a South Park episode about that once.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Did you ever take the crispy skin from KFC and then put it on your face to make you look like you were like a serial killer or a freak? No?
Oh, God,
okay.
No.
Oh, okay, yeah.
God, no.
Yeah, me neither. I've never done that.
That's one of the weirdest things I've ever heard.
That's a good makeup trick because it looks all weird and funky.
Very Buffalo Bill of you.
Did you learn this in Face Off? Is this something that is done on that show?
I have watched 12 seasons of that ridiculously. It's my wife and ridiculously stupid. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, she's addicted to it. Yeah.
How do you perpetuate that for 12 seasons? That's what I want.
Well, when you watch your show, like when you watch an episode and like an episode and a half, like at night when you eat and you just kind of continues. I've got her on a new show though. We started watching Mind Hunters on Netflix.
Oh yeah, is that
good? David Fincher.
Yeah.
We're an episode and a half in, mm-hmm, and I really like it. The writing's really strange.
Okay.
So there's an actress who plays the main dude's girlfriend. It's either the writing or it's like she's just a horrible actress. Like
Maybe
I think she's just a horrible actress. Because you would think that with a show like that and David Fincher that you would not hire an actress who acted that badly. But I was like watching it with Linda, I go, is it me or is she acting horribly? But so far I've really enjoyed it. But it seems like one of those shows that you don't really know what it is for a couple of episodes.
Okay.
Yeah, like the first episode, you think it's one thing, but it's not really that. And so,
and how many episodes did you say? You're
I'm
in?
One and a half in.
Okay,
you gotta get like, yeah, I think you gotta adhere to the Andrew Lee of three.
Every show needs at least three episodes.
Ooh, Andrew,
yeah,
the Drew Lee of three.
Yeah,
the Drew Lee rule of three. The Drew Lee rule of three.
You gotta, if you're interested in a show, you have to commit to at least three episodes before you give up on it.
I agree with that.
Yeah, that's always been my rule. Yeah,
same thing with our show.
Right.
Gotta get
at least nine hours. You got to consume 9 hours of Justice.
Then you're
and Drew.
More than happy to give up on it.
As many do.
It's a true story.
There's a show on NBC called The Good Place.
Okay.
That kind of starts off a little weird, but I applied the three-episode rule, and I was like, this show is actually really good.
Is it about food?
No.
Oh,
there's
okay.
food in it.
Okay.
There's food in it. No, it's a funny show. It's a funny little concept. The concept is they're all dead, right? And there's the good place and the bad place.
Oh.
So they Kristen Bell ends up in The Good Place. But apparently, and I won't spoil anything, but apparently she's there by mistake.
Oh, okay.
She was supposed to go to the bad place.
Okay.
So the whole premise, the whole arc of the first season is her trying to pretend, you know, that she don't want to go to the bad place. So she's trying to pretend to be as good as they all assume she is. She's partnered up with this guy, and then, you know, you find your soulmate.
Comedy ensues.
Yeah, Ted Danson's in it. He's really good.
Brianne, we still didn't. We didn't find out what you wanted to do.
What do you want to do? Why are you here?
Why am I here? I kind of stumbled into this. Being completely honest.
Yeah.
Radio.
What do you want to be when you grow up?
Kind of thinking this might be it. Not a lot of, you know, room for other choices or errors or anything like that. So.
Oh, you're what? You're going to turn 27 this year.
I know. But
you got plenty of time to make mistakes.
You were 25 not too long ago.
Right. That's the thing, I don't feel like there's that much. Before I know it, I'll be 30 next week, you know?
Oh, don't say that. Slow down.
Right, that's how I feel.
Pump the brakes, lady.
You were 21 once.
Oh, God, it's like a bad Christmas carol or something. No, I...
Had you worked in radio before coming to iHeart?
I interned, and I was lucky enough to be one of the last ones to intern, and that was able enough to charm a few snakes in here. That sounds terrible, but...
That's how I got into radio.
It's not...
I had to charm more than a few.
Right. Those weren't snakes.
Right. No.
Why did it have to be snakes?
Right. I'm sorry. That was a misspeak. Let me just say, people like me. Let me just say that. Not for the reasons that I sound like I'm suggesting.
That's right.
But, how can I delicately walk with this back?
Right. Let me try and tiptoe back. But, no, I genuinely do love radio, and that's why I got into it. Some of my experiences with it have been a little disheartening because... I kind of lost some of the romance of thinking what radio really
was. Well, it's a job.
Maybe. Right.
I mean, that's the thing. Right. Radio is fun. Radio is, it's everything people say it is. I mean, it really is. It's a good time. It's a fun job. It's never boring. It's never dull. But at the end of the day, it's still a job.
A gig. Yeah, it's a gig.
And every job has its annoyances that come with being, you know, with working for and with other people. Mm-hmm. You know, so you're not going to be exempt from,
I'm not.
You know, working with people that are annoying or having bosses that you think you're smarter than,
You know, which is typically the case. No, I'm just kidding.
But everybody goes through that though, you know, and that's part of having a job.
Mm-hmm. Well, I am very happy here to be with you guys though, because if not for nothing, I really do enjoy talk radio and the field where it's going.
You did a very admirable job today.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
And it was your first day, so you made like one mistake.
Probably two or three, but
only one that I noticed.
All right, good.
Right?
Yeah.
Right?
At
the end of the show didn't fire the little off.
Oh, and I was thinking of the other one, but that's okay. I'm just jokes.
I was not going to mention the first one.
Yeah. Well, and then there was that middle one.
Right. I was going to leave that one out too.
And there was all the profanity, but you were able to dump that. So, no, you did a good job.
Yeah. Tomorrow, wear pants.
Yes. I'll try and remember.
Don't mind.
Sorry. Harvey. Yep.
She already has the job.
Oh. All right. I'm off to see Blade Runner 2049 for a third time.
Ooh.
Yeah.
How much are they paying you, John? How much are they paying you?
Have you heard about this? No, she probably hasn't.
How much are they paying you to constantly shill this horrible movie?
So I put up on I saw it opening night on Thursday, and then I took Melinda to go see it Friday afternoon after the show when it came out a couple weeks ago, and I put it up on Facebook, and there was this guy that was convinced. He saw it, hated the movie, and was convinced the only way that I would have gone to see it twice and would have liked it and posted it on Facebook is if I was paid by the movie studio to go and promote it. I mean, this guy was...
Makes sense.
Oh, was nutso on the whole thing. So I posted yesterday that I was going to go see it again today because... I've got a reason. I'll tell you why. But then Drew had posted on Twitter. He's like, you know, payola is a federal crime. And I was like, that's right. No, I really love the movie. I want to see it one more time in the theater. I'm taking Logan, my 15-year-old. He hasn't seen it yet, and I think he'll really like it. But we're going to the AMC IMAX in Maple Grove. But that's where I'm seeing Star Wars The Last Jedi the first time. And I picked the seats that are the exact same seats that I'll be watching that in December. I'm scoping out the theater.
You just had your 40-year-old virgin moment, by the way.
Dude, I have those every single day.
So we're a good company.
Yeah. No.
Welcome to the show.
Yeah, yes.
you will be well embraced. You're in good company. I, too, plan out my lunches.
Exactly.
That was a good reference. It was well done.
Yeah, it works out well. Works out well.
All right, Andy. Nobody knows who you are, but you sat in with us for the post-show podcast. I'm mentoring Andy through this radio broadcasting group. He also wants...
If he's a fraction better than me, I think he's got a future probably here.
Now I have something to shoot for.
Yeah.
Goals.
Aim high.
Squad goals.
Fractional.
He looks like he's reconsidering every life choice up until this moment.
This chick.
Oh. All right. Thank you. Thanks for hanging out.
Thank you.
Bye.
We'll see you tomorrow. Bye.
All right. Johnny Ryan.